In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up. That by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. Listeners, I'm thinking of you all right now, and I know that we've been going through really difficult times on the planet. My hope is that you can lean in to your inner self, that one of the things that you can do is find your groundedness within you. And so that you're really not just focusing. I think we do need to be aware of what's going on in our world, and we need to focus on what's going on inside of us and how we can be more deeply grounded and more deeply connected to whether we call it our higher self, the divine, whatever it is that brings us that sense of calm and peace within us. And then from that place, we can actually help solve problems in the world, and we show up as the best version of ourselves. With me today is Kristen McCormick, and I'm so excited to have her here with us on The Spark. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. It's really a pleasure to be here with you. I'm excited to talk with you today.
Thank you. Me as well. You know, I feel like people are really right now, as you and I had a brief conversation before the interview, you know, people are really struggling right now.
Yes, it's so true. And one of the motivations, one of the, I would even say my agenda behind the work that I do is it feels so important to me to help people find a connection with their soul. And people will say higher self. You know, I think that we could use those two terms interchangeably. But basically, that divine presence inside of us, that place of wisdom and peace, it feels so important to me. All of the sessions that I do with clients are based on the information that I get from their souls, the information, the guidance, because that's, it's not only a place of peace, it's a place where we can access personally for ourselves all the answers and the guidance that we need. It's sometimes it's universally applicable, but it's really for us, you know, connecting with our souls. And that's really the beginning of it all for us, the beginning, the middle, the end, actually. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's interesting, you know, Kristen, that you're talking about this, because I think just lately I've been writing my new book. And one of the things I've been writing about is the differences between this external and internal locus of control. And I think we can really get lost in the world if we have these external programs for happiness, or we're trying to get our sense of well-being, especially from the world right now, that can be a really difficult thing. So, yeah. So talk about a little bit more about what we can do, what you do, and how you help facilitate people getting in touch with that within them.
Yeah, I will. First, I want to just say briefly what started me talking with people's souls versus all the other sources of information for any person. I had been doing chakra readings and aura readings. And what I found in doing that was I was presenting a lot of information, and I really didn't have any source for guidance for people. And I felt terrible. I'd be like, well, here, this is going on. I could tell them how to work with their chakras, but if they had life questions for me, I would be like, I don't know any more than you do, you know? Basically, truly. And so I went to the group of guides that was working with me and coaching me and teaching me how to do the work I do. And I said to them, where can I go for guidance for these people? And they said, well, give us a day. And I had a session scheduled the next day. The woman came in, and as usual, we sat about 5 feet from one another. I put a circle of light around us for protection and just to create a space to hold the light. And it, within a couple of minutes into that space came this beautiful, golden, warm, just loving presence. And it wasn't a being. It wasn't an angel. It wasn't a guide. And I thought, what is this? And I still get goosebumps when I think of it, because it was so extraordinary. She had some pretty serious stuff going on in her life. She really didn't even need a chakra reading. She needed intuitive advice. And that presence started telling me all about her, about how some of her past lives were influencing her current situation, gave advice for how she could deal with that situation, and just offered it in such a compassionate way. And so I just proceeded with her as if this happened every day when I did a session, even though I was like, what is this, you know? And after she left, I went right to my altar and I connected with my guides and I said, what was that? And they said, that was the presence of her soul. And from that day forward, that's how I did my work. Yeah.
Wow. How powerful. And how, what a life changer for you. And how did you even get into reading chakras and that in the first place? I mean, were you always a spiritual person? Were you a spiritual kiddo? Or tell us a little bit about that journey. I'm always curious about that.
I was always highly intuitive, but of course, as a child, I didn't even know what the word was. I didn't know what was going on with me, and it was not easy. I was seeing, hearing, knowing things that the adults around me were either not willing to talk about or were uncomfortable with. So it was really a challenge. And I felt, you know, when I realized that nobody else was seeing the world the way I was, then I felt like there was something wrong with me, you know, because obviously everybody else was doing what they should be doing. And for some reason, I wasn't. That was really disconcerting. And it wasn't until my mid-20s when I moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico. So that from the East Coast to Santa Fe, which of course is a hotbed for the metaphysical and spiritual, I went there to study massage. And it was during the time that I was studying massage, giving and receiving all this body work, that I really opened up in a big way. I was hearing things, seeing things, which had happened on and off throughout my whole childhood and teenage years. So I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. And it was making me very anxious. And the teacher of that school, who was one of the dearest men I've ever met, was in his late 60s, very spiritual, very awake. And he mentored me. He said, first of all, you're not having a nervous breakdown. And he led me through. He guided me. He taught me how to read the chakras. He taught me a lot of different things. And so the way that he guided me is, and the way that my spirit guides counseled me in doing this work, is what I'm teaching others as well, because we're all wired to be able to do this. We were born with everything we needed to be able to communicate very fluently and very beautifully, very tangibly with spirit, guides, angels, our soul, our loved ones who have passed over. We've got everything we need. We just need a little bit of structure in order to be able to do that. And so I started a school in 2000 called Spirit School of the Intuitive Arts. And I've been teaching people in different ways how to do all these things ever since. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's so powerful. I mean, as you're talking about that, I'm like, so many people, I mean, everyone could benefit from a guide, from a teacher. You know, in 32 years of doing personal development and mental health work, I literally have heard people from all walks of life, literally from CEOs to brain surgeons to railroad workers, coming in and sharing these kind of stories. Having these moments, you know what I mean? And so I always find it interesting, because there can be people who really hear this stuff and they're like, oh my gosh, that's so woo woo. And, you know, no. And yet I cannot tell you how many quote unquote normal, average people are sharing extraordinary experiences. So how do you deal with that part of it, Kristen, about like, how do you deal with the people that are like, I don't know how to believe this.
You know, I grew up with them. And then when my children went to school, the parents of all of their classmates, you know, it's something that I kept it very circumspect. I was very quiet about it. And it was just a group of people that knew what I did. I didn't have a website for a long time. I really, you know, stayed on the down low with it, basically. And I came to a point after seeing how potent that soul guidance was, seeing it time and time again, I came to a point where I thought, I'm just going to own it. You know, I'm just going to put it out there. And I haven't felt uncomfortable about it since. So that was quite a while ago. That was probably 20 years ago. But just, you know, my poor daughter, for instance, who's, you know, 40 now. But when she was going to school, she came home one day. She must have been in the second grade, I think. And she didn't want to give me her backpack. Normally, I would take her papers out, her lunchbox and everything. And I said, what's going on? And she said, there's a letter in here that I don't want you to read. And I thought, So I finally convinced her, let's talk about it. Let me read it. And the letter was an invitation to parents to come to the class and talk about their profession. And she didn't want me to do that. So, yeah, we lived in a very rural, provincial kind of environment, community. And so, yeah.
So this begs the question, did you go to
career
day?
I would have not have done that to her. It was too much. So,
well, and it sounds like you came to just a beautiful place within yourself that it was like, yeah, I'm not going to hide this. You know, this is a part of who I am. It's a part of my experience. And it's a part that it can really help other people to heal.
I feel like that's what I'm here about. You know, besides all my personal growth purposes that we all have, and I got plenty of them, but in terms of my sense of mission in the world, I really feel like it's about discovering that much of what we seek outside of ourselves, and I would go so far as to say everything that we seek outside of ourselves, we actually have within us, because our souls are like a whole universe, you know, huge. It's amazing to think that presence that's right here in the center of our chest is timeless and it's limitless, you know? So I really feel like helping people to establish grounding, which is essential if we're going to get accurate information from spirit, if we're going to receive information that's not clouded in emotion or bias, we need to be in our bodies. We need to be connected to the earth. And then, you know, there's just several steps, not a bunch, but basically if we're grounded and in our body, you know, connected to earth and we've released any desire for a particular kind of answer, we really get into that neutral zone. I now connect with my soul and all of its light and wisdom. We go within, we focus right here. And the rest just unfolds really beautifully. Some people hear the information. Some people see imagery. Some people just sense this is what my soul is saying to me. Some people have all three, you know, types of receiving. But we all have ways to receive. And it happens through our body. It doesn't happen somewhere out here in our energy field. It happens in our body. That's why we need to get in our body. We have to get out of our heads and get in our bodies, and there it will be.
Well, we live in this world of distraction.
Yes.
That's continually pulling us outside of ourselves. So I imagine, you know, Kristen, that a part of this is really, you know, turning off the TV, turning off the news, you know, putting down your cell phone, doing things to start bringing yourself so that it's not just when someone has a session with you, but they start living more and more in that realm where they're accessing that inner world, I imagine, just like on a daily basis.
I think that's a really good point. You know, and some people do it more easily in nature. They go out and sit under a tree or by a creek or something. Some people do it really well if they light a candle and they light incense. There's lots of ways to facilitate it for ourselves, but we do have to shut out the distractions, and we need to do that on a regular basis. We can, it's like anything else. We have to practice. And then we have to continue to practice to maintain the ability to find that quietude.
Yeah, that exactly. Reality.
Yeah.
It's just like building a muscle. It sounds like when you're exercising, you don't just work out one time and put the weights down and go like, I'm great. Yeah. I'm so fit. You know, it's literally something that we cultivate, right? We do it over and over again and build the muscles that way. And so this sounds like what a beautiful interior muscle, if you will, mm-hmm. to develop.
It's so beautiful. The presence of the soul is so reassuring. It's a place of divine love, which means unconditional love. It is that divine presence within us. So it's not only reassuring and peaceful, which should be enough, but I have found that it's healing, because when I receive the information and guidance from my own soul, I'm receiving it in such a way that I can integrate it. It's not like sometimes in a book, I'll have to read it 3-5 times, you know, but when it comes from that place within me and I can experience very directly the truth of what my soul's saying, it's, I can do it. Then I can live it out. It's not a yeah. thought anymore. It becomes a part of me. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, and so we're just about ready to take our break. And what I'm excited about coming back is talking to you about your coursework and what you teach, what specifically you teach, and then the benefits of that. Because I think, again, like, as you're saying, I mean, this is something that we can all already have inside of us. And it sounds like one of the most beautiful journeys we can take is the journey to our soul and then to listen.
Great. That sounds great.
Yeah. Okay, so we will be back, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with Christian McCormick in just a few moments.
One day, I arrived early to meet a friend for lunch. One of the wait staff welcomed me with a beautiful smile. It was everyday magic. We experience this kind of thing all the time, but it was magical because the smile made me feel happy and content. The Sanskrit word for smile is smitam. It means fully blossomed, fully bloomed, and expanded, like an empty field suddenly full of spring flowers. In the same way, a bright smile given freely changes everything. It can warm the heart. It can reassure or inspire or uplift. It can bring joy or lift a burden. Try it for yourself. Smitam, a smile, and discover a little everyday magic. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover everyday uplifting magic together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
If you're a mom, you're probably hard-pressed to think of things you wouldn't do for your child's well-being. What if I told you the greatest thing you could do for your kid's development is focus on your own development? When you work on yourself, you begin to show up better for the people you love. Tune into Imperfect Momming with Alicia Lyons on your favorite podcast platforms. Learn more about me at alishalyons.com. alishalyons.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to The Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
The Thank you for coming back, listeners. So excited to have you here. So thankful for these collective hearts that gather this beautiful audience. So I just want to send out just love and appreciation to each and every one of you for being here. I have the wonderful Christian McCormick with me today, and she's an amazing teacher and an intuitive healer. We're talking about really the return to the soul and how to listen to our soul's guidance. And Kristen teaches courses in this at her school. And I'm going to have you give the name of that school again, and then tell us a little bit about what would that coursework look like? What could we learn and why is it important?
Okay, great. Thanks. Well, the school's name is Spirit School of the Intuitive Arts. And I made it broad in a sense because I wanted to cover a lot of different territory, let's say. You know, people that go on to the more advanced classes learn how to access their past lives, and it really gets broad. But the beginning course, which is really the foundation course in a sense, it's called Transformative Guidance. And I'm starting a new series in January. It will be virtual. And basically what's covered there is how to prepare yourself to receive, which of course includes grounding, et cetera, and other things. How to approach life with the idea of partnering with spirit, because we're so used to going it alone or, you know, being very self-reliant. And so it's almost like I can tell people how to do this and this and this, but I realized early on, it's very important too, to talk about how to be receptive and how to shift this kind of self-reliant approach to life, to an idea of partnering, having a team. You know, it's great in work when we can have a team to work with, but in life, we can have that too. It's always available to us. So I teach how to talk with your spirit guides, how to communicate with your soul, how to communicate with your guardian angel, which is an amazing experience, and how to communicate with nature, because that's, talk about supportive as well. You know, we're surrounded by support all the time. And so I give people the way, the techniques to access these resources, and helpfully help them to integrate living their lives in that different manner, living their lives with this kind of support and help and guidance on a day-to-day basis in the most mundane of things, you know, how to talk to my boss or how to communicate with my spouse or my neighbor, or it could be how to better my financial picture. That, you know, people will say, well, is my soul really interested in that, or my guides or my angel? And I will say, your soul and your guides and your angels are interested in every aspect of your everyday life. That's so important, this journey that we embark on, you know, here in the human plane. There's nothing that's not spiritual. All of this is spiritual.
So I love that, you know, because I think number one, we, especially in the time of the pandemic, people can feel so alone and isolated.
Yes.
And what an important message that we're never truly alone, number one. And then that all of it matters. All of it matters.
Everything that's important to us is important to them. Nothing is mundane, really. Yeah. And especially in these times, which are so isolating, you know, and we might be having to kind of retreat again for a little while. I think it's really showing up where I'm living anyway, that's probably the best approach. And I really have felt a lot for the people that have called me and wanted to talk with me over the last year and a half. The ones that are living alone, you know, that's really hard, I think. So to be able, that's one thing, one of the reasons why I offer these classes too, is to give people a sense of community. I've always felt like that was important. And since the pandemic, I totally resisted going online. But of course, once the pandemic came along, there was no choice. And I have to say, because I thought there wouldn't be that sense of intimacy anymore, there wouldn't be that sense of connection. And I have to say, it's been beautiful. It's really been beautiful, the kind of connection, intimacy, presence of spirit that we've been able to bring into the classes. And this, what was really important was that sense of community. I really wanted people to have a pathway for connection that was meaningful, not superficial connection, but meaningful connection with others, and to be able to feel supported. So it's interesting, as things open up, when they do officially finally open up, whenever that is, I will continue to teach virtually as well as in person. I can reach more people, but even more importantly, there's an ease to it for some people. And of course, you know, someone on the West Coast cannot travel once a month to the East Coast to attend my classes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that personal connection, I feel like it's so important for all of us to experience. And those of us that can facilitate it, I think it's really important. Really, really important. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have had that same experience as you, doing events online. And I was a part of a woman's group this last year that met once a month, and coming together was such a powerful experience. Mm-hmm. Every month when we met, it was just like absolute kindred souls, and you can feel the connection through the internet. You know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, Einstein's theory of relativity, that, you know, there really is, we could go into no time or space and how it's all one.
Yes.
And yeah.
Really feel it. And to be able to have the presence of spirit, you know, we're all in different locations. And then we do an opening meditation to connect with whomever in spirit. There's usually, you know, there's a topic. We do all that. And then I look at people's faces on the screen in front of me, and we're all connected. You know, we're all feeling it, this beautiful presence of spirit with us. We don't have to be in the same room, which is nice. And of course, that's really important during these times. These have been very challenging times for people, not just because of the isolation, but because of all the divisiveness in the world. That divisiveness has been there, but never as strongly. I can't say never. But not in my lifetime has it been as strong as it is now. It's very agitating. And even someone who doesn't understand themselves as sensitive is going to feel unsettled with it all. Even people that aren't watching the news, it's still in the atmosphere. It's around us all the time. And people are really taking on very strong beliefs. It's not even opinions, it's beliefs, and feeling very defensive around those beliefs. So it's harder and harder to have a peaceful kind of communication. Yeah.
My experience when the pandemic first hit and things started getting shut down, mm-hmm. even though I didn't feel afraid, I wasn't experiencing anxiety personally, I would lay in bed and start going to sleep, and all of a sudden feel like that collective anxiety, just like kind of like the heaviness of it, the fear that was coming out. And so, you know, for me too, connecting with the divine, which is what I call it, you know, my higher self, has always just been the way through, and being in the present moment and not playing the what if game and catastrophizing.
Good. Yes.
For yourself personally, how have your own soul guides, you know, your own soul, I guess I would say, help support you through all this? And before you answer, oh no, we do have time.
Good.
Okay. So yeah, we have time to answer. So let me know. Yeah. What has helped you personally?
Yeah. Thanks. Well, certainly meditating, connecting with my soul, but also, connecting with the guides and my guardian angel. And I will say that in 2016, I started receiving teachings from Archangel Michael. And this is something, as I was receiving these teachings, I would think to myself, this is just between me and him. And then then I kind of went to subscribers that who were clients of mine that I knew know me well enough to know I'm not out in left field somewhere. Anyway, it was 3 years of receiving those teachings, and I had a mailing list that I would send them out to. And now I'm in the process of compiling them with a friend who's helping me into a book. And where I'm going with that is that those teachings were all about how we can create in our world and how important divine love is as a creative frequency, let's say, and how important joy is. And so as I've been continuing to work with Archangel Michael a bit, but also working on that book and compiling the book's title is You Are Creators. Which I love, yeah. I've been immersed in his teachings again. And I got to tell you, that gives me so much steadiness and so much sense of direction. You know, on any given day, if I'm floundering, which definitely happens, I can connect with those sources, but also I can realign myself with the frequencies of divine love and joy. It's profound what that does, with the difference that it makes. And he talks about sending, connecting with those frequencies, and then sending them ahead into any situation, any telephone call, any conversation you're going to have, anything of importance, to completely infuse that situation with divine love and joy. And that is how I get out of those hard days. I need to reconnect. I need to reconnect with the truth of who I am. And I need to reconnect with this beautiful, you know, we're surrounded. Our environment is divine love and joy. We're surrounded by it all the time. These are the frequencies of creation. So to get back in alignment with that reality versus all the other realities that I might get distracted by, right? Because that's really our truth. That's who we are. And that's who all of this is. You know, it's what these are the frequencies behind all of creation. It's helped me enormously. Yeah.
Well, I can see it. I mean, you're such a lit up person, and you just have this beautiful, just solid sense to you. My sense is that, yeah, it's coming from that connection and your ability to connect and to listen, you know, to really listen and then to embody what you're receiving.
To be able to listen. Yeah. To be able to slow it down enough to listen. It's extraordinary and it's everything we need is right there when we can do that.
Yeah. Well, and so this is what's so encouraging to me as I listen to this. You know, one of my messages has been the point of power is in the present moment, because that's where we have access. Mm-hmm. And I am hearing that no matter how spun out we get, or maybe how caught in the trance of fear we get, we can return to this place where joy, creativity, vibrancy is always available to us.
And if we can't find it, you know, there are those days when I just feel like, ugh, so I can't find it in here, you know, or I can't, you know, the journey in is too hard. So I can reach outside of myself. This is something I can reach for, is that presence of divine love and joy. It's always available. It's in every room. It's in the air we breathe. We just have to tune into it. You know, we're not taught to pay attention to or recognize or acknowledge these frequencies, but they're around us. They're as real as all the elements that are present in air, for instance, and oxygen, all of that. These frequencies are just as real.
Yeah. So sometimes what I'm hearing is you can't go within every time, that sometimes you have to just say, I just need to tune in, because the frequency is, whether it's nature or, you know, it's just like you're saying, it's accessible though at all times.
It's always accessible. And it's just a matter of not getting so lost in my thoughts, you know, that I forget for a period of time that I don't have to be feeling like this. Yeah.
What a gift. Well, when we return, we're going to continue the conversation with Christian with Kristen McCormick. And I have a really dear friend whose name is Christian, so you have to forgive me. I absolutely love her and feel that same light that's in her that's in you. And I'm just looking forward to continuing our conversation when we return. So join us as we figure out and learn more of how we can make it through these difficult times, what resources we have readily available to us, and just accessing the way through. We'll be right back.
Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We'd love to hear from you on Transformation Talk Radio and live on Facebook. Call into the show, 1-800-930-2819.
So welcome back, listeners. This has been such an interesting show, and I'm talking to Kristen McCormick. She is a teacher and intuitive coach. We've been learning so many things about how we can actually have some resiliency, groundedness during this time, and more than that, even have a more connected and inspired way forward. So I'm curious, Kristen, what have been some of your kind of big wows? In your own life, how this guidance has helped you, and maybe in some of your clients' lives that you can share with us.
Yeah. Well, when people learn about angels and being able to connect with their guardian angel, I've had some really wonderful emails from people saying, I connected with my guardian angel and I got this information and it was life-changing. But also, just as importantly, I talked about how we can infuse circumstances and events with divine love and joy. Well, another technique is to send the angels ahead of you. And I had a client who was in some high-powered international type of negotiations with nonprofits. He was very much of service in the world. And he was approaching a really difficult meeting. He knew it was going to be difficult because with the same group, he had a difficult meeting the week before. And so we talked about, you know, sending the angels of light and angels of love ahead of him. And we're talking about someone who didn't, you know, no ordinarily operate in the world in this way. You know, this is a completely different approach for him and a little challenging, but we did it. We did it together. We sent those angels of light and love into the conference room, which was going to be, I don't know if it was going to be 4 days out, but it was in the future. And he said that his experience with that same group the second time around was totally different. From the first time around, there was harmony and cooperation in the room. They reached some really tangible resolutions. And he does that from now on. That's how he's operating, very much behind the scenes. But it's a good example, again, of how we do have access to so much support. And we can be showing up in the world doing you know, having careers that have nothing to do with the spiritual, that doesn't mean we can't bring the spiritual into everything we do. You know, that we can be who we truly are. We don't have to advertise it. I've done that for years, so I know for sure that that's true. The angels are always willing to help. We can never ask too much of the angels. In fact, I've had a couple of people's guardian angels say to me, "Would you please tell her to ask me to help her? Because I'm just bored otherwise," you know. They're very playful, but very powerful at the same time. These times, I think, also require, and I use the word require, that's a word I don't like to use very often, but I do feel that these times require that we disengage from all the turmoil and all the chaos, that we do everything we can not to get drawn from our center into that turmoil and strife that's out there. And sometimes that means, you know, of course, reconnecting with our peaceful soul's presence. But I think it also means having good psychic boundaries. We can maintain those psychic boundaries really well if we stay embodied and grounded, and if we have a clear intention around that. And I find that there are some days when it doesn't take much for me to get tweaked. And I have to call my energy back, keep my energy with me, not get pulled out of my own sacred space, my own energy field. And I have to be really firm in not absorbing any of those things. Because even people that aren't empaths are absorbing this stuff. Maybe to the same extent, maybe not. I don't think it matters. I just think that this is really harsh energy out here sometimes in the midst of all this beauty. And I think we really have to discriminate and be very clear and intentional about what we're willing to bring to let in, I should say, and not. And sometimes that's a daily practice too, like getting up in the morning and saying, "I now send divine love and joy into this whole day and every interaction that I have with every person in this day. And I claim my light in this world." And when I say those words, and sometimes I change it depending upon how I'm feeling every day, I understand that when I say I claim my light, what I'm also saying is I'm choosing not to let all this agitation in. I'm choosing not to be swayed from my sense of the truth. And I don't care. Somebody else's sense of the truth might be totally different from mine. But if we're both centered in our truth, then we don't have anything to argue about. We're just who we are. That's all. Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, what do you say to the people that argue? We need to be aware. We need to be informed. So I need to be watching the news. I need to be really keeping up on that.
So I think that there's some reality to that, but I also think that if fear is the motivation behind having to watch the news and having to be up to date with everything, rather than curiosity or really just gathering knowledge, if fear and anger are behind that, then we're very easily going to get caught up in all of it. Very easily going to get caught up in all of it. There's so many other realities that I'd much rather be affected by and in touch with. Yeah.
Well, I guess I wonder too, it's like, how are we affecting the world if we're, you know, succumbing to that vibration, that frequency of fear and anger and, you know, rage against the machine? How does that serve the planet? Or truly, you know, the question is, how am I better serving the planet when I'm in higher vibration?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's another really beautiful result of communicating with our souls and our angels is we are automatically emanating light. It's you can't help it, you know, not that anybody would want to not do it, but you can't help it. We had an exercise that we gave in spirit school one year. I've done it several times where I had people fill their bodies and their energy fields with their soul's light, which is a beautiful golden radiant light. before they went in the grocery store or any place, the mall, any place public, you know. And I asked them, tell me how your experience was different when you did that. Just behave as you normally do. If you don't say thank you, don't say thank you. You know, just be who you normally are. And tell me how that experience changed as a result of your bringing in the light, because I know it's going to change in small or big ways. And everybody came back saying, you know, one woman said, I had the best grocery store trip I've ever had in my life. And somebody else was talking about how everybody wanted to say hello to her as she was walking through the store. Somebody else was saying that he did that before he went into work and that he had a much easier day. I myself, I had the greatest experience. I had to go in Lowe's, which I hate. I just hate, you know, it's a cavernous kind of place to be. I had, and the errand was not exciting for me. But anyway, I'm walking down this, you know, big aisle, and at the end of the aisle in Lowe's, so this person was really far away, there was a woman pushing a shopping cart. I didn't know it at the time. And I had my, you know, I'm all full of this light. And I didn't know it at the time, but she had like a one-year-old child who was in the cart. The way that I knew it was the child leaned around her to look at me all the way back there and waved at me and smiled and waved again and was so enthusiastic about me. And I was yards and yards and yards away. And then I met that child one other time in another aisle, and the mother said to me, I don't know what it is about you, but he really likes you. And I said, oh, that's wonderful, you know. But I thought to myself, I know what it is. And so this practice of intentionally filling ourselves with light, we don't have to do anything else. We don't have to send the light out in the world unless we want to. In other words, we don't have to effort. We just need to be more of who we are. And it's amazing how much of a difference that makes. And it doesn't just get contained in Lowe's or the grocery store. It goes out into the community. I don't think that means we always have to be positive. I don't think that means that we can never have fear or worries. But I think that if we are aware of our light, we can use it in the world in effortless but profoundly powerful ways.
I absolutely agree with you. And I resonate so deeply with your message. I think that's been my experience when I go to different towns or states or countries and travel. I always feel like I end up meeting the most amazing people and having these beautiful connections, connecting through that light. And, you know, the thing that's interesting too, Kristen, to me, is that they've done scientific research on this where they can measure frequency. It's not something that's just metaphysical. It's actually something that they truly are able to measure and that we do impact our environment. So how amazing. I love the story of, you know, that little child seeing you and responding, because that frequency, that vibration truly is going out. Quantum physics has shown us how that it's like truly the ripple effect. We've been talking about it forever. And so it's true, you know, we can become, and we are, that pebble in the pond that then those waves ripple out from us. So what do we want to bring?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And we don't have to chastise ourselves if we're not in a good mood someday, you know, or even if someone has a week of depression, that's okay. What really has I'm not saying that's okay in the sense that, of course, we want to feel better, but in terms of how we affect the world, what really affects the world is the anger. That is the most destructive force. And I'm not even saying we should never get angry, but we need to find ways to process it, express it in gentle and communicative ways. It's not that anger in and of itself is bad or wrong, but it's how we manage that anger. Anger is a very powerful force. And so we have to manage it and use it in the way it's intended. The original intention in all of creation of anger was to give us the impetus and ability to transform, to create change. You know, we reach a tolerance level and then we don't have the tolerance anymore for the situation. That's healthy. That's really healthy. We might feel really frustrated. We might feel angry. Well, let's channel that force. Let's transmute it into divine light and joy, which is the creative force, and let's create the change that we want to create in a way that's not destructive. It's meant to be transformative.
You know, and I was just talking about this with my partner this morning. He and I were discussing, you know, Gandhi's message and Martin Luther King's message, which both are about that you don't come up and wage war.
Yes.
You know, it's not through that vibration that we're solving any problems at all.
And isn't that wonderful that that's your partner and your conversation in the morning? Not many people can say that. I think that's great. And it brings me to another thing, again, the importance of community. I think we really need to be very choosy about who we're associating with, who, you know, in terms of work, we can't always make that choice, especially if we work for a large corporation, but we can make the choice of who we're connecting with within that large corporation. I think we have to really be aware that being around certain people is in fact going to be uplifting, and being around other people is going to be a struggle every day not to get pulled down by their energy. I don't mean this in a disparaging way about people, but what I do mean is once you come into an awareness of yourself as divine love and joy in the world, I think it's very important to have as an intention to connect with others who are on that same wavelength. I think we, especially again in these times, I think we really need that as another source of support. I think we have to have good discernment about who we're going to share our energy with.
Yes. You know, it reminds me of that saying, I read it. It's not Jack Canfield's quote, but he speaks of someone else who said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Oh, yes.
And so to really look at, you know, it's okay to have a couple people that you're helping to pull up a little bit. And it's really important to have about three people who are also helping to raise your vibration, you know, and that this beautiful collective group, it does become the average of who we are. So we want to make sure that we're surrounding ourselves with people that we're having these kind of conversations with. And even if we don't totally agree, that we're still entering into conversation from this loving, open-hearted, you know, tolerant, compassionate place. And I think that's so beautiful. And I do think that's one of the things that will end some of this divisiveness, is if we can continue to enter into conversations that they might be uncomfortable, and yet we're holding a space of love and deep, compassionate listening with one another. And from that place, I think these differences and some of this, you know, otherness, if you will, start to disappear.
Yeah, it's so important. It really is. And I think that we can find the necessary neutrality the more we do connect with our guides or angels or soul, what have you, and the more that we surround ourselves with people who are just as concerned with divine love and joy, for instance, as we are. And, you know, I do find that in groups that I'm teaching, that there are certainly different political views, which is pretty amazing to me. You know, I used to make the assumption we all thought the same, and that was really silly and naive, really. But it doesn't matter how opposing the views might be. When we come together in this space of divine love and joy, it works. Of course, you know, we're very clear. We're not discussing politics in our classes and things like that. But to be able to put all that aside, and just come in, I don't have to know how this person believes, what that person's politics are. I don't have to know those things. In the same way, I don't have to watch the news every day either. But, right? It's really beautiful when you can have a group, you know? And I'm not even, it's not like I'm promoting what I'm doing. There's lots of people out here that are doing these things. So for a person to feel alone is just not necessary. It's not real. There's so many ways to connect. And I think it gets more and more important nowadays. I really do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I want to make sure, Kristen, that we're giving people an opportunity that do want to connect with you and learn more about your school and hear more about your message. How do they find you?
Well, thanks. So my website is kristenmccormack.com. C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N MCCORMACK, KristenMcCormack.com. I don't have a specific spirit school page on that website, but I do have classes listed. The transformative guidance class, which teaches people how to talk with spirit, connect with spirit, that flyer is going on the website in the next couple of weeks, starts in January, and it will be virtual. And then I have the website You Are Creators, just a new for the book, the Archangel Michael book, which is we just started that website a couple of weeks ago. It's not complete. And I welcome questions. If anybody just wants to contact me and ask me some questions, I'm happy to respond. It gives me that sense of connection to relate to others. And that's a beautiful thing. It truly is. Yeah.
What a gift, Kristen. Thank you so much. And before we wrap up, what are the essential message, or what is the essential message you want to make sure that you're leaving with our audience?
Yeah. Our souls are accessible. Our souls are embodied. They are with us all the time. Another thing, very important, speaking of all the time, is that our guardian angel is always with us in our energy field. Always. So you could talk to your guardian. You don't even have to know your guardian angel's name to be able to talk to it. You just say, I'm now connecting with my guardian angel. That's all you need to do. Or you can just say, hey, guardian angel, you know, find me a parking space or whatever it might be. We're never alone. And there's always access to these beautiful resources that we have, these spiritual, non-physical, but very tangible and very potent resources that we have. I'm always saddened when someone says to me that they feel alone. And I try to say, hey, let's talk with your guardian angel today, because that guardian angel is always with us. Our soul's presence is always with us. We need love. Hey, it's inside of us. You know, we've always got it. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Kristen, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing this uplifting message. And I just feel inspired and hopeful. And I know the listening audience does as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Stephanie. It's been wonderful. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to The Spark with Stephanie James. Remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.